You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
It's the APC Podcast here at AcmePackingCompany.com, where we talk Packers forever. I'm Zach Rapport, a solitary man standing in a bedroom in Queens. It's our Bears preview episode, and I'm getting set to throw it to an interview that Ben Foldy and I did with special guest Larry Dyer, the man behind the Bears Talk Underground podcast. Find him on Twitter at BTU_Larry. Lifelong Bears fan, a good sport, and a lot of fun to talk to. I believe our corporate overlord, Evan Tex Western, was also on Bears Talk Underground this week with a little crossover episode, so be sure to check that out. Follow us on Twitter here, at the ABC Pod, for trivial nuggets and other on-brand shenanigans, at Zach Rapport, at Ben Foldy, at Alex Patakis as well. The interview you are about to hear, as well as our episode earlier this week with Ben Fennell, were engineered by Chad Bernhardt and Amber Watson at the Craig Newmark School of Journalism. Forgot to shout them out on Tuesday night's show, so got to give them their due. And again, full disclosure, this current bit is being recorded in my bedroom with Mr. Tickles, our elderly tabby cat snoring in the corner, being his very specific version of helpful. Subscribe, rate, tell your friends. We've gotten a ton of iTunes love recently, and it has made a huge difference. So we thank you all for that. We read all the reviews and we do take them to heart. So thanks again for that. Okay, without further nonsense from me, let's throw it to our Packers-Bears preview interview with Larry Dyer of Bears Talk Underground.
The number you dialed is
Acme Packing Company.
Time to play the game!
All right, as we look ahead to Packers-Bears, a game that suddenly means a little bit more than we thought it might have meant coming into last week, we are happy to be joined by Larry Dyer of the Bears Talk Underground podcast at BTU_Larry. Larry, how you doing?
Doing great, guys. How are you?
Good.
Doing a little bit better now
after a
coaching change and a little bit of juice for our flailing Packers, but it's a much different story down in Chicago. I want to give you a moment just to gloat a little bit here and talk about how you feel about your Bears so far. I mean, coming into the season, I feel like a lot of people expected the Vikings to be defending their division crown, the Packers to be slightly behind them, but we had one analyst, a Packers guy that we talk to often, Ben Fennell, say that he really, really liked this Bears team and thought it was their division. That's obviously coming true. So gloat a little bit and tell me how you feel about your Bears, man.
Well, I like that person who really liked the Bears team. That guy's my new best friend. But
we like him too.
You know what? It's been an incredible journey so far this year. I mean, we as Bear fans were expecting bigger and better things this year, but I don't think any of us were expecting this. I think even after the Khalil Mack trade, conservatively, a lot of people were looking at 9 wins being the ceiling. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, that could happen conceivably, but I think we're better off. We're going to get double digits in the win column this year, and watching them leap past what we were expecting has been a lot of fun. I mean, I was just talking about it on my show last night that this team seems to be playing with another gear that we haven't seen, that I've actually enviously watched the Packers play with for years, especially when they play the Bears. It just seems like there was a little bit more intensity, a little bit more effort coming from them than from us. And now I'm seeing the reverse. I'm actually seeing us make that extra effort, and it's it's paying dividends big time this year.
Do you think that the Bears will ever have a Super Bowl contending team that isn't built around its defense?
I don't know, man. I mean, I thought that a few years ago we were headed in that direction. That first year that Trestman was head coach,
yeah,
and the only offense in the league better than ours was the Broncos when Peyton Manning threw for 55 touchdowns and scored 9,000 points.
Yeah, the Matt Forte.
And that was the only offense. Yeah, the only offense that was better than ours. The only problem is our defense was god awful.
Yeah.
That year, so we had to outscore all of our opponents instead of being to just flat out beat them. So I thought maybe we were headed in that direction when Trestman was around, but that failed miserably, as you know.
Almost every kind of competitive league kind of talked about as a Super Bowl favorite team is really like, you know, we're going to put up 40 points a game and who cares about the defensive side of the ball. I'm thinking mm-hmm. the Chiefs mainly, but, you know, even the Rams have that tendency a bit. And the Bears are kind of, you know, the Jacksonville of last year, like a kind of inconsistent quarterback, young quarterback. I don't know how young Blake Bortles is anymore, but, you know, kind of decent run game, you know, Allen Robinson, whether or not he's playing. But do you think that's sustainable? I mean, I think, is that something that you can build on? Is the window short like it was for Jacksonville? Like, how are you feeling about that kind of team construction?
Well, I actually feel really good about it. I've been saying all year before we got hot and won five games in a row and started winning games that we've traditionally been losing the last few years, that, 2018 has been fun. It's been great watching us be competitive and in every single game, win or lose. I mean, our biggest margin of defeat this year is 7 when we lost to New England about 5, 6, 7 weeks back. But I really thought that 2019 would be the year because we'd have a full offseason with everybody, including Khalil Mack, who literally joined the team 8 days before we played you guys week one. So, I mean, he didn't have OTAs, training camp, nothing. He literally came off the street and took the field at Lambeau. And we've been rolling with him since. But just imagine what this team can do year two in Nagy's system, year two together with a full offseason. And, you know, look at what they're doing on while they're all learning together. What can they do in 2019 when they know it and now they're out there executing it? So I do think it's sustainable. It's just a matter of I feel like with all the injuries we've suffered over the years and the luck that we've had with injuries this year, if we can keep that going, this definitely is a sustainable model for sure.
What do you think is the biggest difference that Nagy has made coming into the system as compared to Bears football teams of recent memory?
Well, for one, last year offensively, you could see us coming a mile away. You knew what we were going to do. We were going to run Jordan Howard into the ground, and then on third down, we might throw the football. And even then, you weren't worried because who did we have to throw the football to last year?
Kevin White.
We had no one to throw the ball to. Yeah. So, I mean, we had no one to throw the ball to. Maybe Tariq Cohen coming out of the backfield. But aside from that, you weren't worried about anybody who was out there. They were never getting open anyway. So it didn't matter. So we were facing 8-9 man, boxes all year long. And Jordan Howard still managed to get 1,100 yards rushing behind that. What Matt Nagy has brought is variety. You know, you see a lot of his formations. He's shifting guys around. Sometimes it fools the defense and some guy pops wide open. Now, if our quarterback could get his mechanics fixed and hit those guys a lot more than he's been doing recently, we're going to be super dangerous in the future.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned your quarterback and his mechanics. What is sort of your assessment of Mitch Trubisky so far?
Well, I'm not much of a quarterback guru, but I definitely think that what's going on with him has something to do with his fundamentals. Maybe it's his footwork or something like that. Because when he's on the move, when he's on the run and he just has to make a snap decision and throw, he's deadly accurate. But when he's back in the pocket, even when he has time, I don't know if it's something about the way he's opening up his body or maybe his shoulder is still bothering him or something like that. But like he threw 2 interceptions to wide open receivers on Sunday night and they just sailed right over their head. He made the right decision in who he wanted to throw the football to, but for whatever reason, he put a little too much on it, or whatever the case may be, they sailed right over their heads into the waiting arms of L.A. Ram defenders on Sunday night.
We just saw the Bears kind of strangle the life out of the Rams. What do you do to beat the Bears at this point?
Well, what I had mentioned the night, what I predicted would be the determining factor in the game between the Bears and the Rams would be to limit mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
That is one thing that has improved dramatically from John Fox to Matt Nagy. We're not getting as many penalties as we did before. We're not turning over the football as much as we did. And we're also number one in the league in forcing turnovers and points off of turnovers. So we're the ones forcing the mistakes instead of being the team that's constantly making the mistakes. I mean, there were so many instances last year. I could bore you guys to death with all of the instances last year where this penalty, if that hadn't happened, we would have been first and goal. We probably could have scored, or this touchdown had to come back, or this holding penalty brought a punt return back, and how that affected the outcome of games. We're not doing that anymore. We're not the team that has that costly holding penalty that's going to bring something back, that bad interception or anything like that that's costing us football games. So the fact that we've cut down dramatically on our mistakes across the board, and also we are a hell of a lot more resilient than we used to be. Used to be that when we did make a mistake, it was something it took us a series or a quarter or something like that to recover from. We bounce right back. Trubisky threw a bad interception in the third quarter on Sunday night, and on the very next play, Kyle Fuller intercepted the ball back. That would not have happened in the last 5 years or so. It would have been a while for us to recover if we didn't let the Rams score on that particular drive. In most cases, 2017, the Rams would have scored after that interception.
Yeah, you mentioned the resiliency, and it's been interesting to watch the Bears, I think, get more and more resilient throughout the season. So they play the Packers mm-hmm. early on and kind of melt down in the second half, and they almost had this look in yeah. their face like here comes the dragon, we're gonna lose.
Yeah.
And I don't see that mentality out of them at this point in the season. It sounds like you mentioned, they're just more resilient, they're more confident, there's more swagger, especially on the defensive side of the ball, and they know that they yeah. got things under control.
And I agree with that. And, you know, week one was a hard lesson to learn. That was that one hurt. And I want this one bad. I want this one bad because of all the people that we've lost four games this year, of all the teams that we've lost to, we don't get to play them again.
Yeah.
But we get to play Green Bay again. So we get that one back. We get a chance to right that wrong. And we get to do it on our home stadium. We're playing lights out football. We're 6-1 at home. This year. And, you know, I don't know if we'd have been able to do what we did to the Rams in LA, the way we did it in Soldier Field with our fans on Sunday night. So, you know, watching what the Bears have been able to do this year. And I think it's mental because Nagy comes in, he's a young guy, he's full of piss and vinegar. He's confident. He's, you know, he's leading the charge, and those guys are buying into what he's selling.
What's your outsider's opinion on the Packers and how you best beat them and how that plays to the Bears' strength?
Well, as it always has been, it begins and ends with Rodgers. You know, that's the one thing. I mean, we slowed him down in the first meeting, but we didn't stop him mm-hmm. because he came charging back.
He slowed him down, all right.
In the second. Yeah, well, we hobbled him, but we didn't slow him down. You know, like we didn't stop him, that's for sure, because he came out guns blazing in the fourth quarter. And you know, I don't see Fangio being as conservative as he was because he was super aggressive in the first half going after Rodgers until he knocked him out. And then in the second half, for some reason, we seemed to stand back and Rodgers picked us apart and then started raining down the big plays on us. That's really what killed the Bears the last time. Rodgers didn't drive the ball down the field methodically and run it in from 1 yard out with Aaron Jones. He had a guy, how is there a dude named Geronimo in the NFL? Explain that one to me. But a 40-yard touchdown pass to that guy, Randall Cobb, with that crazy 75-yard touchdown reception. You know, huge plays is what killed the Bears the last time because they were kind of sitting back trying to keep everything in front of them, playing not to lose, and that's exactly what we did. So I think that since then, we've been playing to win, and that works a lot better for us.
It's interesting that your takeaway from the second half of that game is that Fangio dialed the defense back, whereas on the Packer fan side, our takeaway from the second half of that game is that Rodgers actually played within the confines of the system, quick passes, three-step mm-hmm. drops, played with more discipline, was more decisive because he had to be, because he literally could not move. I mean, maybe it's a little A and a little a B, but it's funny how we each have sort of the exact opposite takeaway.
No, I think that's a good assessment of what did happen, that, you know, McCarthy and Rogers together at the time, anyway, you know, decided that trying to sit back in the pocket and wait for Cobb and company to get open wasn't going to work with Mack and Hicks and Goldman and all those guys breathing down their necks. And Fangio was sending Trevathan and Roquan Smith up the middle on blitzes and everything. But we weren't as aggressive defensively as trying to get after Rodgers, which a lot of people found confusing. And Rodgers was a lot faster getting that ball out of his hands as well. So it was a bit of A and B on that one.
All right, Larry, what do you really think is going to happen in this game? These two teams look much different than earlier in the year. What do you think in your heart of hearts is going to happen?
If the Bears can keep their head and play within themselves instead of trying to exact revenge on what happened, the embarrassment that was the second half in that game that you know, caused them to lose, I think we are the better team. So I think we would win on Sunday. How easily, that's up to them to decide. You know, I would put it more on Trubisky than anything else. If he can come back and play a little bit more Tampa Bay than against the Rams, then I think we'll have a much easier time on offense. We'll move the football a bit better, maybe put more than 15 stinking points on the board. You know, I just think that as long as it doesn't turn out to be a revenge game for the Bears, that we'll be fine and that we'll be able to come away with the win.
Yeah. I don't know how closely you have paid attention to the Packers at all, but are you given Trubisky and sort of the offensive struggles of your Bears, are you worried about the Packers defense at all, or do you not care?
I mean, they're still the Packers. So, I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've, you know, previewed the game to think, well, the Packers, you know, are suffering. They can't rush the passer. And then you sack Cutler six times or something like that.
I miss Cutler.
Always. Yes, I know you do. I know you do. We don't, but I know that you guys do, especially your secondary, who got rich off of Jay Cutler.
Yeah, he threw a lot of completions to the Packers secondary.
Yeah. But I mean, it's pointless for me to sit here and try, because it always seemed to be that whatever wasn't working for you guys would work against the Bears. You guys couldn't run to save your lives, and then you come in and James Starks ran it down our throats for like 200, or that one game that Ty Montgomery ran for 200 yards against us. You guys couldn't run the ball to save your lives.
His apex as a running back. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, you guys couldn't run the ball. You come in, Montgomery's breaking 60-yard runs and things like that. You know, the offensive line is you know, being pieced together by guys you're literally pulling off the street, and yet we don't touch Aaron Rodgers the entire football game. So I'm not going to sit here and say, well, your defense, the secondary is this and, you know, all of that, and then you guys rattle off four interceptions and, you know, stuff like that, because it's the Packers. So whatever it is, you throw it all out the window. It's Bears-Packers on Sunday. Kickoff is at noon. Let's get it on.
I love how all these little, like, very specific moments are burned in your memory. I don't know the last time we mentioned James Starks in Packer Nation, but clearly you remember the name.
I do, because he was like your fourth string running back in 2010, and yet he carved us up in those important games. That Week 17 game where we had to beat you to keep you out of the playoffs, and then we didn't, and you end up beating us in the NFC Championship game because we couldn't slow you guys down. In that one matchup, we were the ones that let you in, and then we ended up paying for it by not being able to go to the Super Bowl that year. So yes, I have, you know, many ugly memories about, you know, Clay Matthews, early Clay Matthews, and what's his name, BJ Raji, a pick six in the NFC Championship game. I still wake up screaming. So I mean, it's you know, I got plenty of bad dreams. I mean, you know, starting with Favre back in '92 up until now, we're talking 26 years. Of you know, Green Bay sticking it to us over and over again.
Oh yeah, you're going way back. So you've got you've got revenge on your mind. I think the Bears as well have revenge on their mind. We'll see if the Packers show up in this game. We'll see what happens. But Larry, thank you so much for stopping by. Larry Dyer again at @BTU_Larry, Bears Talk Underground podcast. Check it out. Larry, thank you so much.
My pleasure. I'll be having your very own Evan Western on the show this week. If you guys want to check that out, it'll drop on Thursday night.
That's right, everybody. Check that out. Bears Talk Underground. Our fearless leader, we call him our corporate overlord, Evan Tex Western.
Thanks, guys.
Have a great week.
Thank you.
All right, guys, that's going to do it for us this week. Hey, the odds are long, but if the Packers can beat the Bears this weekend and a bunch of other crappy squads lose, our playoff chances go from, five to maybe 15%. Again, long odds, but if you're not rooting for the Packers to win every week and play for, as well and for as long as possible, then you can just get all the way the heck out of here with that. So again, follow us on Twitter @theAPCpod. Where my screen time app tells me I spend way too much time. The conversation literally never ends. Remember, guys, win or lose, the Bears still suck. Let's go, Pack, go. Milwaukee, so raise your glasses high. Then you chuck a luck until they're dry. And raise your spirits to the sky.
Hello, I'm Spencer Hall from SB Nation, and I want to tell you about my new show, It Seems Smart. It Seems Smart is a show about people doing things that, for some reason or another, seem smart at the time. Those things might include doing a little cocaine and driving a bike up a mountain. Or, I don't know, maybe racing 100 miles per hour across the country in the middle of the night with no one's permission. Or even stealing a bat from an umpire's room in a Major League Baseball park. Check it out, and if you like it, tell a friend. I'm Spencer Hall. Don't do anything smart.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.